إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, in the story of Musa alayhi salam, yesterday, as I mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows his qudrat and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows his power. The whole idea and purpose in this story is to draw our attention to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do whatever he likes and nobody can counteract the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one. Number two, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not bound by conditions of the world. Allah is not bound by the laws of this world. Allah is not bound by circumstances or whatever it might be, because He is the creator of those laws and He is the creator of those circumstances. So second point is that. Third point deriving out of this is that therefore our trust and faith has to be and must be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, without bringing anything else into that equation. Now obviously, like I said yesterday, this does not mean that we do not use means or that we do not do what we should do. We do all that. But we don't join those things in our thinking, in our beliefs, in our emotions with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the simplest example of that is to say, as I said yesterday, to believe that we take medicine, for example, to cure something, but not to believe that the medicine cures, but it is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which cures. Now, somehow, or I don't know how this happens, this is obviously one of the traps of shaitan, is that people who consider themselves to be very logical and scientific forget about logic and science when it comes to the belief of Allah, will believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, if medicine cures, then medicine must cure everyone. But go to a hospital and see, you have people under this with the same diseases, undergoing the same treatment. Somebody gets cured, somebody does not get cured. Right? Now we don't ask this question. We say, how come if there is cure in the medicine? I mean, if you put sugar in something, it gets sweet, because that is the nature of sugar. So you put sugar in whatever, it will become sweet, right? So if you are putting sugar and in some things it is becoming sweet, in some other things it is not becoming sweet, then you say, well, the power is not in the sugar. So how do we believe that the power is in the medicine or power is in the, you know, the knowledge of the doctor? We are not denying medicine, we are not denying doctors. We are saying that we must understand what belongs where. So why do we go to a doctor at all? Because this is, alhamdulillah, we have been permitted to do that. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also that doctor and his knowledge and the medicine, all this are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah told us to use them. So we use them. But that does not mean that they can actually cure, or it does not mean that without them we cannot get cured. Both are equally false as beliefs. So this is the whole purpose of all of these stories of the Quran. So to come to the story of Musa alayhi salam, as I mentioned yesterday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we sent wahi to the mother of Musa alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told her that when you are afraid that your child may be discovered and thereby may be killed, put him into a box and put that box into the river. Now, I don't know how many of you have been to Egypt, but if you go to Egypt, you see that Nile is not just a river. You know, Nile is like a sea. I mean, it's a massive thing. And Allah is not saying put it in this little stream. No, it's a massive river. Second thing is that river, I mean, today, of course, the Nile is hugely polluted and so on. So I don't know how many of the Nile crocodiles are there. But the Nile crocodile is called the Nile crocodile because it is in the Nile. So you have to understand, it's not just a river. It's a river which has some really massive creatures in it, and you know, massive crocodiles in it and so on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if your child is in danger, throw him in the water with the crocodiles. I mean, does it make sense? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have told Musa alayhi salam's mother to do many things. But Allah did not. Allah told her to do this, which is, if you again looking at it logically speaking, this would be the worst possible thing to do. It's almost like saying, if you are afraid that the child is going to be killed by other people, kill it yourself. It's like saying that almost, right? Put the child in a box and throw it in the river, and this river is full of crocodiles. I mean, where is the logic in that? But this is the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show no crocodile, no river, no nothing. Water cannot drown without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Crocodile cannot harm without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all this. That this box then, so she did this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions that this is the beauty of the bayan of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah says, we strengthened her heart. Otherwise, imagine how will that woman do this thing? I mean, it's a mother, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we strengthen her. So it shows the reality of this kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, if anyone has any doubts that this is minallahi ta'ala, you know, you must just read the Quran with care and you realize that this cannot be something which any human being could have written. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells her to do. Now, remember, why did Firaun start this whole business of killing Bani Israel children? Why did that start in the first place? Because his own Jyotishis and his astrologers and magicians, they told him that a child will be born, a male child, a boy will be born with the Bani Israel, who will be the cause of destruction of your kingdom. Right? That is the reason why this whole saga started. Now what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? You put the child in a box and you throw him in the river. Now again, our logic would have said, then this box floated away and went away somewhere, and then it was found by this farmer who was stealing his land or something, or some fisherman in some remote corner of Egypt, and then this, nobody knew what happened, and then this child was brought up by this fisherman, and so on and so on and so on, and this whole story, where thanks to the fact that the box was never found, thanks to the fact that this child was hidden somewhere in some village, nothing happened to the child, right? This would be our way of writing a story. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes this box to float into the palace of Firaun. Obviously, you know, we all like to buy lakeside properties and seaside properties and riverside properties. Firaun owns the bloody place. So, I mean, he buys the, well, he doesn't have to buy a riverside property. He owns the river, he owns the land. So, he builds his palace and this river flows through the palace. Right? So now this box floats into the palace of the river, into the palace of Firaun. Fine, all good. Now what happens? It is found by the wife of Firaun. So she is doing whatever she is doing and she finds this box. They open the box, oh fantastic, this is a baby. Now we don't have children, why don't we adopt this baby? Right? But Firaun is Firaun. I mean, he is a logical man, he runs the whole kingdom, so you know, all emotions are fine, but so what does he do? He calls the astrologers and so on. He says, what kind of thing is this? Who is this baby? He says, obviously not a, you know, not an Egyptian baby. This is looks like a, well, you can look at the person's face and say, this is a race. So well, here is a Bani Israel baby, came into this river or in this box. What about it? Huh? Now, what would our logical story say? Our logical story would have said, the people saw it, the astrologers, they did not recognize it. No, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not need to deceive. Allah does not need to hide anything. So the astrologers, they look at the baby and say, this is the one. They say, all of them you killed till now was a waste of time. This is the one you were looking for. Finish him and that's the end of the story. Khalas. You are safe. No mistaken identity, no hidden, nothing. They clearly say, this is the one, kill him. I picture this thing sometimes, that this is the Pharaoh of Egypt. He was a tall man, Ramesses the Fourth. He's standing in his palace, so obviously maybe the floor is, you know, marble or something. He's holding this child, this newborn baby in his hand. All he has to do is drop the baby. To kill this baby, he has to do nothing more than drop the baby. He'll crack his skull on the floor, that's the end of the story, throw him away, khalas. But what happens? His wife says, you know, this baby is a baby. What is a good baby and what is a bad baby? Forget all these astrologers and all. This is a baby, is a baby, is a baby. We don't have any children. Why don't we adopt a child? He will grow up in our palace. He eats our food. He will, you know, we do his tarbiyah, everything else. He will grow up as an Egyptian prince. Where is the question of this baby doing anything to us? So the man listened to his wife. And as they say the rest is history. Allah Kareem. His wife was a very pious woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, later on in another surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says her dua she made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah. So the point here is that here is a situation where all the factors relating to the safety of Musa alayhi salam, every single factor was wrong. Everything opposite of what would have made him safe, every single thing was the opposite of that. But what was the result? The result was the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the mother of Musa. When Allah sent her, what did Allah say? Allah said, put him in the river, we'll bring him back to you, don't worry. He will come back to you. How? That's not your problem. He will come back to you. And we will give him nubuwwat. Allah promised her this thing. So Allah fulfills his promises. So now what happens? Here is this impoverished woman living enslaved who has a child. So she's poor. She is effectively a slave because she is, you know, belongs to a slave population. What resources would she have? You know, what kind of... Suddenly out of the blue now, and we know the whole story, Musa alayhi salam's sister follows this thing and she knows where the child is and so on, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes this child not to suckle, not to drink milk from anyone. And now they've got a problem. Here is this child, we want to bring him up, we have decided and so on, but the child doesn't feed. So what to do? So this young woman, she says, you know, I know somebody in our place who maybe this woman can feed this child, maybe the child will accept the milk of that woman. So they are desperate, they've got to feed the child. All right, bring the woman. To make a long story short, Musa alayhi salam is back in the arms of his mother. Now he's not back in the arms of his mother as her child. He is back in the arms of the mother as a prince of Egypt. Which means now what happened to the economic situation of their family? Because the king is paying for it. Because, you know, this is the king's child that you are bringing up. So here you had a child who was a potential liability because of what would happen. And suddenly this child turns into the greatest asset you can find because now you are the favorite of the king. You are bringing up the king's child. You got all kinds of, you know, wazifa from the palace and God knows what, right? Now this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing. That safety or danger, good or bad, loss or gain, harm or, you know, the opposite of harm, the benefit, is not in the circumstances, it is not in the people, it is not in power, it is not in governments or leaders or kings or queens. It is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. La nafi wa la dharra illa Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That is the message of this story of Musa alayhi salam. The first and foremost message. And remember, this, all of this we are getting while Musa alayhi salam is still a baby. Yeah? He doesn't know what's going on. He is, as far as he is concerned, he's a baby. And later on we'll see, inshallah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches Musa alayhi salam himself this message. That la nafi wa la dharra illa Allah. At this point in time, he's not learning. He's a baby. So this whole story is for us to say, see, this is what I did. Right? So I remind myself and you, the purpose of the Quran, the purpose of these stories is for us to reflect on them and to learn lessons from them and to apply them in our lives and to cause them to give contentment and peace and, harmony in our hearts and in our lives. And therefore, let us do that. Let us understand the stories of the Quran and use them for the purpose for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the stories. Not for entertainment, but to support us, to help us. And we correct our belief with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we correct our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.